We are starting on Rishon Bat, 252, continuing the halachot of beginning of Malacha, Erev Shabbat, that's going to finish on Shabbat. Bet. Mutanat de Erev Shabbat, Tera im Tavshil, Shalo Nipashal Klal, Al Gavya Esh, Av Shah Tavshil Holech, Nipashal Me'ala B'Shabbat, Lechim Mutan Ladlik, Erev Shabbat, Lechim. So Rav Ovadia says that if you take a pot that has not cooked at all, you can stick that right on the fire, and it'll just cook into Shabbat, and you're also allowed, obviously. I mean, it's not obviously. This is like a whole thing. This is kind of like the prototype, right? We light a candle. We do Shabbos neris, right? So you light your nerot on Shabbat that you're going to have that light, right? You know, we're used to just having the electric lights, but the Maase, the real light for most of human history, was the candle, and that's exactly this problem. Now, the food thing, we're going to find out later, is much more complicated, because of the fact that we have all these concerns that you're going to play with the food to make it ready to eat. But what he's saying is, there is a heter, and they use this in a lot of different places, that if you take food that's completely raw, and you know it's not going to be ready for the suda at night, and you're just going to leave it alone, then you could stick it on the fire. Now, this is talking about sticking on the fire without plata or any of these other things. Conventionally speaking, this is the crock pot, Hector. You know, you go, you set the timer, you lock it. All the wives like it, the Instapot, right? So you go, you set the timer, it cooks. And then when the little thing comes up, it's ready to go. That's what it's talking about. You have set up a situation where you're not going to touch it, and you don't have that concern, Erev Shabbat, that like you come home from shul and you want to eat right away. You know that food's not going to be ready for you anyway, so you're not going to play with it. That's the case he's addressing. He'll bring it down in greater depth later on. But that's why it's a little different than the classic example of letting Nerot for Shabbat, that, you know, you light them, like, why aren't you doing a malacha? It's like you began it in Heter, and that's it. So, Gimel. Mutanat hitim erev Shabbat samach lehashecha letoch rechaim shemayim shehem tochnim v'mashmim kol b'Shabbat. So he's going even further, and he's saying that you're allowed to take wheat and you're allowed to stick it in a mill that's going to grind. He's saying rechayim shalmayim, like a water mill, a windmill, right? The Dutch windmills, right? Like, that's really what they are. Like, we see the little fan, but what's really going on inside the thing is it's grinding up wheat. And he's saying, even if it makes noise on Shabbat, you're allowed to do this. I'm thinking, you know, in theory, coffee becomes a whole thing, whether or not you could drink it after you do it. But, you know, the same kind of idea would be, you know, like to have the coffee grinder go on and grind coffee for you. Sha'ikar laker b'zeh. Ali didan, akodat maran ashulchan aruch. Aval on the tinhitim the rechaim shemayim b'Shabbat over al isor tochen min haTorah. So what he's bringing down, and he says that the ikar halacha is to be lenient on this matter, like Maran, hint, Ashkenazim are mahmir on this issue. I think it's Rav Shlomo Zalman that's specifically mahmir about the issue of mashmiya kol. When you have noises on Shabbat, they're annoying, they take away from onen Shabbat, so you shouldn't do them. Rav Ovadia is saying we're mekel on this issue under this particular circumstance. But he says you should just know that Erev Shabbat, it's mutar. when you do it on Shabbat, this is an Isra Doraita. Why would he bring it down this way? So he's saying the Ikra Halakha is you can be Mekel. But maybe it's not a terrible thing to be Machmir, because if you play games, then you can end up doing an Isur Min HaTorah. He's just not going to tell you that you have to be Machmir. If you read it, if you read between the lines, you kind of understand and say, well, you're allowed to, but that's kind of where he's coming from on this issue. Again, not sure when you guys are grinding up wheat on Shabbat, you know, that this is going to come up. But there are almost definitely examples that are somewhat parallel. You know, grinding up the seeds to make helbe. You know, you have fresh helbe on Shabbat. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be what? Yeah, pepper. That's dafka your classic example. Very good. Peppercorns. Yeah, if your pepper better be ground before Shabbat. Now this becomes all thinking. You do it on Yom Tov. Mastami, you can. Like, we usually add anything food related, and I guess we'll see later, but usually the standard is that anything that's lisha and onward, kneading the dough, and tochein, which is what you're doing with the, you know, but it definitely tastes better when you, for sure. So, okay, Dalin. Lidida mutalate begadim letoch mechunat visa otimati be erev Shabbat somoch l'shkira hama ma'afila korem shkira hama he mechabeser aholechet be yom Shabbat benifseger polato ba'ofen otimati for the dat manan shukhan aruch shkiba menohorotav shme'ahal ומלאכת הקיבוס נגמרת מעלי על ידי מכונן אוטומטית מותר ואין חוששין להשמעת קור שאמרנו מוחמד של פלוני מחפשת לשבת. Okay, so he's getting a little more nitty gritty in it. Pretty much every from family thing does this, right? Maybe I'm wrong. 5 minutes before Shabbat, you take the clothes and you throw them in the washing machine, or very often, more likely, the dryer, right? So you're throwing them in at Shabbat. It's going to finish on Shabbat. And we're not, and as long as it stops on its own, right? We're not worried you're going to open it up and, like, give it another run. We're not worried about the noise that it makes. Again, this is the Rosh Shlomo Zalman issue. So he's saying another aspect of the kol, not just that it's noisy, but that people will hear, right? There's that iser we're bringing back, Marat Ayin. So Marat Ayin is that people shouldn't see that you're doing something wrong. Well, he's letting you know it's not just see, it's see or hear doing something wrong. Nobody's going to think you put the washing machine on Shabbat. Yesh laka b'davar b'frat, b'chayalim, ha-mega'im, l'chufsak tzara me'arab Shabbat, achara tzoraim, somar chalivim, לכניסת השבת, ועליהם נחזור לבסיסם מיד בצד השבת, או מוצא שבת, יצאו אין הבגדים המכונה. So, he says, this especially applies to soldiers, who basically, they find out pretty late in the day whether or not they've been going home for Shabbat. They go home, and then the second Shabbat is over, they already got to go back to base. So you're talking about this very short window that they have to do these things. They're definitely going to be allowed to do them. So Wahinu Ashkenazim Noagim Kedarama Achmir Bazeh Sheyesh Lachush Lahashmaat Kol. And he says, as I kind of hinted at before, Ashkenazim are Machmir because of this issue of the noise that's going to be made. Ulam af la darama kishish sorech dvar gnona vahayalim amagim nachufsa ksara washaad huka ahem yoter yeshatir gam ahem nasokim. So he says that even according to the Ramah, if you have this kind of, you know, really dochik situation like hayalim, you can be matir. So he's doing something, and he does it a lot, and maybe I said it before, maybe I'll say it again, he will periodically paskin for Ashkenazim, quote unquote. I think there are Ashkenazi poskin that will listen to him, but by and large, he's not treated as an Ashkenazi posek when he's saying something that Ashkenazim can do X, Y, Z. So the Rama is the basis of Ashkenazi psak, but he's not the end all and be all, right? So basically, Ashkenazi and Sfaradi psak are split, you know, along the Shulchan Aruch school and the Rama school, but really, strictly speaking, there are smaller subdivisions, and there are people who actually, in some ways, play more of an active role, even in the... So, obviously, Benish Hai plays a pretty heavy role in Sfaradi Psak, and then Rav Avadya, they kind of part ways within the Sfaradi school. Then you have, like, a whole separate thing. The Hungarians have their own kind of thing based off the Hatam Sofer. The Shach actually plays a very, very big role. So if you go and you look at the inside the Shulchan Aruch, you basically have for your day. Certainly, you know, you have on the page. You have right in the middle. It's Shulchan Aruch and Ramah kind of mixed up in the middle. And on one side you have the Taz, and one side you have the Shulch. The Shach. That's at least in the. In Yoredeya, in Ora Hayim, which is what we're discussing, actually, that's going to be the Magen Avraham. I think the Taz also. I could be wrong. It's been a while since. But at any rate.
So on Shabbat, would I be able to go down to the drying clothes from there? Not a problem.
You're allowed to start doing it before Shabbat. But once it's in there, you gotta leave it alone, obviously.
Oh, it finishes, I'm saying. I can go in there, open the door, and get the clothes, huh? There's no lights going on, nothing.
So that might be more of an issue. Because the mechanism that you're using, when you open that door, you can stop. And this may be part of the concern with these machines. There are a lot of people who did not like them at all because of the potential Shabbat Esor. Right?
After the cycle finishes.
Right, but what I'm saying is that there still is an electric mechanism that I'm not sure you're not doing something. Whether or not you're making an impact, that a noticeable impact from your standpoint, I don't know how it works to say that you're not, let's say, breaking a circuit when you do it. Like, why is it that when you have the dryer spinning, you pop the door and it stops right away? It's not like you have to press a separate button to make it go off.
Like a thing.
Right, but I'm saying that thing is still active. That's like the whole question. And you know, I'm as guilty as anyone, but there are definitely reasons why you might leave it alone. You know, you have your Alexa, you have your Google. Okay, you know, in order for you to give that order, hey Siri, blah blah blah, the thing is listening to you all the time.
Right.
It's literally listening to you all the time. And yeah, we literally invited the spyware into our homes. But it, on one hand, it's a security thing, right? If Chas v'Shalom, you hear something, you say, I'm not going to say it, but C-A-L-L, right? If you say it, it will trigger, and you'll have cops at your door without you having to, you know. So there is a real safety value to have that thing. On the other hand, you have no privacy. And then there is this issue. You have this thing running on Shabbat. It has happened to us. We've been sitting at the table, and we said something, and I asked the kids a question, and Google answered. And I'm like, oh, that's no good. Because what if Google had answered with, like, the hamster dance or something like that? What would have been? I couldn't tell it to stop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So we could have, who knows? But just that very fact is like, oops, I said something and triggered this thing going off. Major, major shayalot to have the thing running. And getting back to what I was saying about the dryer, I don't think you can open it up because, at least the way I'm understanding, there is a sensor mechanism of some type that's still there even if the thing is off. And I don't know it gets shut off, and I don't know how it works. Because that was the Hazanish when it was when electricity was first a thing, and they were trying to figure out, like, it was just like intuitive, like, this is a problem. Is it the Oraita? Is it the Rabbanan? There's a whole lot of stuff worked out. But the Hazanich said that the issue is that you're doing bonet, you're building when you connect a switch. Now, don't think of our, like, you know, rinky-dink little switches. Think of, like, a circuit breaker or something like that, right? You know, that's more probably what he had in his mind. When you go and you either, you know, screw in your fuse or, you know, hit your circuit breaker, like, you, that's exactly what you're doing. There's a circuit, you've broken it, you're building and destroying. So using the Chazon Ish's Sfera to the washing machine, if you are, like, disconnecting a circuit, yeah, we don't paskin like the Chazon Ish Mi'ikar Adin, that's the issue with electricity, but you could see over and over again, like, well, you shouldn't be hitting the switch because maybe the Chazon Ish is right, and really you are building. You know, and you think about, like, oh, it's just a wire, but so, I just saw something. So, you know, somebody was showing something from the bodies exhibit, and that they had models of the circulatory system, and it's like there's enough of those circulatory pipes where you could actually see the image of the guy's face that they murdered and froze or whatever, you know, mummified. That was pretty awful. That was a pretty awful exhibit. I won't go on.
I was just thinking about the car door. There's no light going on. The car door is different. There's nothing.
So
a microwave door without a light.
So, I mean, I think you have to understand the technology of the car door.
Right.
I don't think it's so pashut. You know, if you're, let's say, popping open, you know, like a 67 Corvette or maybe even a DeLorean, you might be fine. Whereas if you're, you know, popping open your modern car, you're popping open a Tesla, I find it very hard to believe that you're not doing some issue popping open a Tesla. On the other hand, a Tesla is better. If you have to take a car, a Tesla is actually better than a gas-powered car. Because it's electric. All right. I digressed, and I will undigress. We'll go to Hay. Okay. Mutar aruch sha'on me'ored chitzi me'erev Shabbat kedei sheyuchal lechabot et hashmal b'leil Shabbat al yedei shirat sha'on lemateg hashmal. So you can set up like an alarm clock so it'll kill the light, it'll kill the electricity on Shabbat, right? So, you know, this is like everybody's dream house, right? You just set up all the clocks and you can do everything you want. You have it, you know, you guys, you know, dipping back in the Back to the Future, right? So I just mentioned the DeLorean, right? That, like, it, you know, in the morning, like, the alarm goes off and the can goes and it opens up the dog food and just, like, dumps it, you know. But that's, like, everybody's dream, basically, you know?
I'm thinking these air conditioners that are in the wall, they make a lot of noise for Shabbat.
They do, and that was actually a machloket, Ramosh, well, not about the noise, but having an air conditioner on Shabbat, Rav Moshe was not convinced that was like a necessity of like owning Shabbat, and then people from Israel, obviously, but, you know, Miami or whatever. Like, are you kidding us? In fact, the whole reason that we now have such a growth in the South is largely attributable to the air conditioner. You could not have a factory before, like, 1980 or something like that. Because you just kill people.
No, I'm talking about the noise factor. It's very loud.
Right, but you have this other consideration of the Oneg Shabbat of, like, not dropping dead. You know? So it's a competing thing. I don't mean actually dropping dead, but even just, like, spending your entire Shabbat sweating. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying, but, like, there is a competing consideration on that one. And that's why the noise would not be an issue. And you can set up these mechanisms to turn lights on and off. You'll go to a lot of Hasidish places by Surah Shalishi, and, you know, you're all sitting there, and suddenly all the lights dim. Everybody's holding by this heter to allow, at least by the lights. Now, he makes a proviso that it has to be connected to the electricity as opposed to something battery-powered. That would seem to be his condition. By putting... No, a generator is fine.
It's not battery.
He's saying, like, you know, setting up, like, you know, a little, like, clock on your... I don't even know what else he could be referring to, but, like, I guess, like, you know, having some kind of, like, remote and, like, setting up the remote that the remote's going to start blasting stuff off. I don't know what that qualifier is. Okay? We just don't know. But we'll keep going with what Rav Ovadia is saying. Shachin sheyesh lahakel b'hachanat sha'on shabbat hashmalai. And you can also be lenient of setting up your clock, all your Shabbat clocks. The things will turn on and off on Shabbat. And he's going to have a qualifier. And I think you could... you might be able to see this one coming. Ulam en atye l'kshor et ahut shel ha-sha'on b'kesher amiva. He's saying, though, that you can't permit like making a makeshift connection on Shabbat itself. So there is an idea, right? You're not allowed to tie knots on Shabbat. Correct? So I'm going to come up with a chidush on Shabbat that I'll just, like, have the wires kind of, like, fall on each other or something like that. It's not building. You know, I'll just... He says a bow, but the Lashon of the Gemara is aniva is a bow. I don't know what dafka... means a bow. It can even mean, in this case, like, anytime you take two wires, right, the electricity, like, you can't do that. And in fact, that's how all switches work, is by having two wires touch and untouch. So I'm not even saying the real qualifier is saying is that if it's even if there's a delay, when you do it, the malach is not going to happen right away. Even then, it will not be mutar. Saying a grumma switch, which are very controversial. If he brings it up later, we can discuss grumma switches. Otherwise, just kind of prefer to stay away from it. So, Vav, keep going. We good? Okay. Shabbat. Over Lel Shabbat, Rotze, Lehashira, Dolech, Ad Sha'am, Yoharet Yotem, Mutar, Raziz, Mehuge, Sha'on, Yekaven, Sha'a, Rotzuya, Kedei, Shiaher, Etazman, Hakibui. This is very controversial, they're saying you can do. So, you know those like weird wheel guys? Throughout the Sefer, he's not talking about a digital thing. He's talking about you can still buy them where it's like that like big massive plug that you shove in the wall and it has like the little pins you can, right? So there's actually on Shabbat an advantage that he's saying. He's saying that let's say when you set it, you have the lights going off. You have the lights, let's say, going off at like 8 o'clock at night, and then turning back on at like 4 p.m. And you really want them now to turn on not at 4, but you want them to turn on at 5. He's saying that's allowed
to change it
on Shabbat, but. Qualifier only to make the time later.
Without seeing that.
Right? To go from 4 to 5, not from 4 to 3. Because one thing, you haven't caused anything to happen, right? When 4 o'clock hits, nothing has changed. Whereas if you pull it to go the other way, then you're causing a malacha to happen indirectly earlier, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So if I put it ahead, 4 o'clock hits, it's not rushed.
Nothing's happening. It's just going to continue to not happen until 5. Whereas if I do it by 3, I am doing something that's causing something to happen earlier on Shabbat. Is that a derechta? No. Is it us? It's what's called a grama. Grama is causation. So, classic case in the Gemara, causation. You take a guy, and if you take a guy and strap him down in the middle of the sun, it'll kill him, right? But what if you go and you strap him down at 4 a.m. when there's no sun out, but then you're just going to leave him and he's going to cook? Like, you didn't kill him, but let me say you killed him. That's a grump, right? You set up the what was that movie Saw, right? That's exactly what it's talking about. Saw, right? And that was the whole dilemma in the movie. The cops could never put him away because he never did anything that would be considered murder. Because everybody just did everything themselves, right? So yeah, I bet you never thought that was going to come up in Shiur. But okay, so he has in brackets here. V'chol ze dafka b'sha'on shara'it shizman kibui eno mevatel epolat ha'sha'on kegon sha'on sha'mahog. על לשנות את מחוגים בשבת רק במקום צורך יש so he's making a proviso that it's only and I'm not sure which ones he's talking about, which are going to be okay and which ones are not. I think what he's talking about is exactly what we're talking about, like pulling up and down the pins, as opposed to like a dial or something like that.
Oh, so there's a difference.
He's saying there that there is a difference, and he does. I think this is what he's referring to as a dial. I'd have to see which ones he's talking about or not talking about. But I'm pretty clear the ones that he's okay with are the ones that are with the poppy guys. The pins, like those little pins you lift off. You know, it's always the ones that are the most annoying that are the ones that are halachically. So he actually is saying less than what I was saying. Before, I was saying it was straight out grama. What he's saying is it's like a grama if you move it to happen earlier. He's saying you should just be strict and not do it. Right? What would be the nafkamina in, let's say, back in the old days, you know, when we still had makot madut, that Beit Din was allowed to actually whip people. You would not be able to whip somebody for moving the clock forward. Shouldn't do it, but you know. Okay. So he's giving a time that you can be mekel on this issue. So that's going to be with a sick person. In the case of a sick person, you could move it backwards. So I actually ended up, I don't know if I did the right thing or not. I had a guy who was staying who was blind. Clearly, a blind person is going to be a chulish embo sakana, you know, as far as sleeping is concerned. He's saying if the lights are on, he'll never be able to sleep because his eyes were just going to, like, chase after the light. Like, he couldn't just, like, put something over his head. We were, you know, it was in the dorm. I didn't know halach at that point, but I was just like, yeah. I told him, you know, just dealing with fluorescent lights. He's like, whatever. I don't know if I did the right thing or not right thing, but mastama, it would be a similar kind of thing like that. Like, you know, somebody like a Ebo Sakana means there's somebody who's all falling on the bed. They're just like they're a hot mess. Not just somebody who's not feeling well. Okay? Olavanji is a hashalo alikarev yoten midai pen yase akibui biyadayim. And you know, this should be obvious, but I guess not. Is that like if you do it too close, then, you know, obviously if in the process of just bringing it closer, you actually trip the thing, you actually did do an Isur. It's not that you were doing something technically mutar, and then, like, you say, if you cause the thing to trip, that's going to be a problem. وأمنام حميكين بزعاف شلون ماكم حول يش أهم عيان شيء يسمحوا. But he's saying, but people who are lenient on this do have what to rely on, which is interesting. Olamach yizahelo yikrayev etam achuge shalom yotem midai pen yichabev abiyadaim chas v'shalom. So the same concern, but now he's saying that even those people are lenient, you really got to be careful in case you cause the thing to trip. Okay. Right, it's the same. That you're going backwards and you keep doing it until it clicks. You really did something wrong. And he's saying that you shouldn't move the whole thing in a way that the lights will go off earlier just so that the lights will later on go on earlier unless you need it for Talmud Torah or something like that.
Means that
Okay.
So
that would be like your dial case. Like if I'm twisting the whole dial, right? If I need twisting the dial to get the thing to go off earlier, Mimela, it's going to cause the other side to go on earlier. And he's saying that mitzvah Tamei Torah, you would be allowed to do that, otherwise not. This is where you run into sticky stuff. And why I'm glad I'm not a posek and people are not asking me these things. Because then it's like, well, you can. And I kind of know you can, but I don't really want to say it. Because I know you might do shtuyot. And I don't want to be responsible. Right? So he's saying, in the case where it's going to delay everything, that's totally fine. Okay, he's not really specifying. If you're delaying it, it's going to be fine. Okay. And all this is talking about where it's physically connected to the wiring system. So if you're going to have plans that you're going to do something, he's saying that you should mentally have in mind, because otherwise you have something plugged in the wall. Generally speaking, things that are plugged in the wall are moksa. Shouldn't touch it. Okay? And he's saying that it's, you can also, I'm good. Thank you. So he's saying that you could do with the, something that's plugged in the wall around the time that it's going to extinguish, you're not going to cause it to extinguish, so it's fine. So he's giving a heter that things are plugged in, that they would be muksa, you would be still be able to move them, because some people say something that's mechubar, that's connected to the ground, doesn't become muksa. Right? If you... you have, you know, the house, right? So there's nothing on the house other than things that you're going to do a malacha with. That's not muksa. That's something that it's used as asur. So that's not muksa. Muksa just means it's put aside. So it's saying, like, you know, you're allowed to hang your coat up on the wall, even though you have a light switch on that wall. How are you doing it? You know, right? So, you know, isn't there issues of basisim? It's like, no, it's all connected to the ground. It's not an issue. Okay. We'll call say who, but tonight she name and of Shabbat you call it is ba'ofe mutar im yiratzeh tonight had mo'ir nachol hashana kula. So he's saying that if you're going to do any of these things, you should really make a Tanai, because by making a Tanai, by making things conditional, you'll take off the Muksa status issue. And then, you know, it'll be better to allow moving. And he says, and you can make this Tanai once a year. There is an idea that every year that you're going to make a condition like this, that you should renew it periodically, and not just rely, right? There are a couple of things like this. I've heard people say that, you know, once a year in certain places, they'll say that the Eruv is down, even though it's not down, just so that people, you know, keep in mind, like, hey, you know, if the Eruv really does come down on Shabbat, you can't carry. It's not, you know, that this thing is just set up forever, and, right? That and actually, if the Eruv does go down, you have to have people going knocking door to door to tell people. You know, finish off with the last story. I don't know. I can say the name of the Posek, who said this. But there was a guy who was an argument, who was actually, you know, big machloket of Eruv in Brooklyn, right? And there is an Eruv, there isn't an Eruv, so somebody built it, and somebody picked a fight with the this Rav, this very big Rav, and the big Rav said, you know, I'm not holding of it, and the guy's like, what's the problem? You can carry is Eruv. And so my friend sat him down and said, yes, but just realize the implications of what that means is an Eruv. That means that you have to have somebody just going checking all the time, and that if the Eruv comes down, you have to go door to door to tell people it's down. And if anybody carries, based on you, when there wasn't an Eruv, you're Hayav also. And then this rabbi got up in front of his kehila and basically said, yes, there's an Eruv, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily a good idea to use it. So this is like a very, very left-leaning guy, and he just, like, you know, it's sunk in. You know what? Just because something, you can technically make something mutar, maybe not the best idea. You know? All right.